And away we go, we're off and running. It is Monday, December the 16th, 2019, 10 and a half minutes after the hour, and it is a snowy Monday morning. A lot of schools in the area are on two-hour delays, so check with your school this morning to see if your school is in session and running on proper times. You know what's interesting about days like this? This makes me think back to when I was a kid, and also when I first got in radio. Radio used to be the main line for school delays and cancellations, because when I was growing up, television did not really do school closings and cancellations, because back in those days, now the morning programs on television start at like 5 a.m. Well, they didn't used to start that early. They used to start about the time the Today Show would start, the national shows would start, and they would only do the break-ins at about 25 and 55 minutes past the hour. So television did not do a whole lot of school delays and cancellations, and even if they did, they were usually for just the city that the station was located in, like Columbus. Would do Columbus schools. They certainly did not do Marion schools. So radio was always a way to get your school delays and cancellations. And then television opened up a little more. They started doing more morning programming. And I would say around 99, 2000, it seemed like all of a sudden Columbus News was running that crawl at the bottom of the screen, because you've also got to remember that crawl did not always exist. That's a fairly new thing, too. That crawl came around sometime in the 1990s. That crawl at the bottom of the screen of news that's going on has not always been there. Well, then that crawl came in, and when that crawl came in, that thing at the bottom of the screen where words are just going on and on and on, once that came in, then they started doing more school delays and cancellations on television, and Marion started getting announced on Columbus television at that point. But it was kind of interesting, because a lot of people didn't like getting their school delays and cancellations on television, because it took so long to find out what was going on, because the television did so many different counties that crawl would have to run constantly before you would really see what was happening. So it's an interesting thing. And then, of course, cell phones came in. Well, when cell phones came in, then it became a whole different thing. Because in the beginning, all the radio stations went to alerts, so you didn't have to sit and listen for school delays and cancellations. So you got an app from the radio station, and that's how you would get your school delays and cancellations. Well, we move up to even further times now, and most schools have their own apps. And if most schools don't have their own apps, they have Facebook pages. They have all kinds of ways in which they announce these things. And it's interesting this morning, because I was wondering which schools had delays and cancellations, and it's kind of funny, because I found it out by going to the school's Facebook pages. So that's another way to check. If you want to know what's going on today, check your school's Facebook page or internet page, or check through text message alert. Email is another way I think they alert people. So there are a lot of ways to get school delays and cancellations that there weren't many years ago. And it's funny, because a lot of people who were not regular listeners of radio listened on those mornings when there was a snow. And I know a lot of people who only listened to Charlie Evers or Jeff Ruth or myself or whoever it might have been on mornings when there was a snow accumulation. Because I've talked to so many people who say, boy, I remember Charlie, and we just waited for him to say that Marion City schools would be canceled. So that became a thing. But that is a thing that really is no more. Time has come in and changed that particular way of doing school delays and cancellations. But that's an okay thing. There are a few things I want to talk about this morning. Now, one of them is we're now 9 days away from Christmas. I know I keep alerting everybody of this constantly. We are now 9 days away from Christmas. This morning could put you in the Christmas spirit because most people now have their lights out. Most people have their decorations out. Most people are listening to Christmas music. And then the snow that came last night, that's not bad. That really lends itself to a Christmas scene today, certainly in the Marion area and the surrounding areas. So that's kind of nice. That'll put you in a Christmas mood. And I keep thinking that Christmas is actually closer than it is, because I keep thinking that this is the last week to get anything done before Christmas, when really it's not. We do have next week. We do have Monday, Tuesday next week, because Christmas is not until Wednesday. And we also have the upcoming weekend. We still have another weekend before Christmas. So, I don't know. This whole year has been kind of weird. Am I the only one who's thought this year has been kind of weird when it's come to the holiday season? Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's because Thanksgiving came so late. Maybe it's just because of the outlay of the Christmas season. But has anybody else felt this weirdness that I feel this Christmas season? Maybe I'm the only one. 740-383-9944. Give me a ring. Certainly would love to hear from you out there in listener land. Had a great conversation on Friday morning about Christmas candy. Now, I still have not made any Christmas candy, but on Friday morning when this show was over, we had one of our listeners, Jean, came in and gave us some peppermint tack candy. Now, I had never had peppermint tack candy before. I don't know how many people out there in the listening audience have had peppermint tack candy, but this was some of the most delicious stuff that I had ever eaten, and I think Charlie Evers would attest to this as well, as he was the one helping me eat this on Friday. I think essentially what it was white chocolate. It looked like hardtack candy. Do you remember the old hardtack candy that, I don't even know how you made it, but you put it in a pan, and it was kind of a thin layer, maybe half an inch, and you made it with, it was different colors. You had green, and you had red, and you had yellow, and you had all these different things, and then you would put powdered sugar on it once you broke it up. It was like a window you would shatter. You broke it up, and then you put the powdered sugar on it, and that was hardtack candy. It was kind of like that. But then again, not really. It looked like that. It had that shattered look, this peppermint tack. But I believe it was made with white chocolate and little bits of peppermint, kind of candy cane. And it was one of the most delicious desserts I have had in a long time. Now, I'm still waiting on the Christmas baking season to begin, because obviously that has not happened yet for some reason. But it is a nice thing to do at Christmas time, to bake people something. And people used to do this all the time. By the way, does anybody know what it was in hardtack candy that made it so hard? What are the main ingredients if you're actually going to make real hardtack candy? Does anybody know? Give me a ring. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What are the ingredients that go in to hardtack candy? Because to be honest with you, I'm not really sure what makes it so hard or why it breaks the way it does. I'm not even really sure what's in it. Now, I used to think that it was made, I've never made it. I used to think it was made with Jell-O, but I don't think it's made with Jell-O. I don't know what causes the different colors. Does anybody know what causes the different colors of hardtack candy? Because I do remember seeing red, I do remember seeing green, I do remember seeing yellow. I can't think of any other colors at this point, but I also don't know what makes it so hard that it will shatter, because you do have to shatter it to get the hardtack candy effect. Is it that K-Rose stuff, C-A-Y-C, or is it not K, is it K-O? What is that stuff people buy in the store? It's like a syrupy stuff. K-A-Y-O, K-A-Y-R-O. I know a lot of people buy it this time of year, and this seems like this is the only time of year that people buy that stuff. And I often wondered, is that what goes into hardtack candy? Because it's kind of a clear substance that is thick. And I don't know if that's what goes into hardtack candy or not. Is it K-Ro, K-O, whatever that stuff is called? You know, it comes like in the squeeze bottle. Or the plastic bottle, I don't know if it squeezes or not. Well, the bottle squeezes, but I don't know if you squeeze the stuff out of it. It's a plastic bottle, and it's got a clear, like, syrupy mixture in it. And I don't know what that's used in Christmas baking for. Is it the hardtack candy? Or what else would it be used for? I don't know. That's a question I have. And the other question I have in regard to all this is, we talked about no-bake cookies on Friday. And apparently the main ingredients in no-bake cookies are pretty much just cocoa, oatmeal, peanut butter, and a few other items. But I have had some trouble in the past, and I know some people I've been with have had some trouble in the past with these cookies setting up, that when you take them out of the pan, that they don't set up quickly. For some reason, they stay really mushy. Does anybody know why that happens? Because on Friday, the lady who called in with the recipe, she seemed to say that that really had never happened to her with the peanut butter and the cocoa and the oatmeal. But I've had that happen a lot of times. Now, what would I be doing wrong that would cause those no-bake cookies to be so soupy? I don't know what's causing that. And I'm not sure why it's not happening to other people. Because you would think that peanut butter and oatmeal and cocoa would make for a pretty strong mixture. Now, I do know you have to get it out of the pan fast, and it will dry, and you will just have one big no-bake cookie. But does anybody know what would cause it not to set up? Is it the boiling? The boiling point you have to bring it to? Or is it maybe too much peanut butter or too little peanut butter? Are there any chefs out there listening this morning? I know it's a busy morning with the snow on the ground, but does anybody know what it would be in no-bake cookies that would cause them not to set up? That when you set them on the wax paper, they would essentially just be a glob of oatmeal and cocoa and peanut butter. What causes no-bake cookies not to set up? Or, conversely, what is hardtack candy made of? I really couldn't even tell you one ingredient in it. Like I say, I think maybe it's Jell-O. I think maybe, because something gives it its flavor. Is it Jell-O? Is it K-Ro, K-O, whatever that stuff is? Is that what makes it nice and hard? I don't know. I really don't know the answers. If you do, let me know here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I guess I should say I've never made hardtack candy. And when it comes to no-bake cookies, I was trying to think if I've ever made them. Maybe I've watched people make them and seen them not turn out. Maybe that's what's actually going on. If anybody has the answers to these in the next 45 minutes or so, give me a call. 740-383-9944. What is it in hardtack candy that actually makes it hardtack? And what would cause the no-bake cookies not to come out just as you wanted them? Those are two questions I would love to get the answers for this morning. Now, another story I have to tell, and this is one of the funniest stories, honestly. Well, let me start with the shorter one first. I have two here that I want to get to. Now, I'm sure most of you know of the television news magazine 2020. Oh, we're getting a call. Maybe this is the answer to one of our questions here. I hope so. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, on the cookies. you don't boil your syrup long enough.
Oh, in the no-bake cookies?
Yes.
So when I put the peanut butter and the cocoa and the oatmeal in the pan, how long do I need to boil it?
You don't put, the only thing you put in that pan is the sugar and the Karo.
Oh, okay.
So and you boil that for one roaring boil. Make sure it boils real good. But you don't put the peanut butter or the cocoa and the vanilla in until you get that all off the stove and then stir your oatmeal in.
Now, when the water is boiling pretty heavy, how long is typically a roaring boil? Is that like 5 minutes?
No,
not that long.
No, it says 1 minute. I made them for the first time this year because my son-in-law makes them. And you boil that liquid together. And you boil that for one roaring boil. That means when it really boils.
Oh. Well, that's
interesting. Take it off the stove and add everything else to it.
So it's the lack of boiling that is causing them not to set up.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Now, do you know anything about hardtack candy?
No.
No, I don't know. Now, the Karo, which I guess I was pronouncing that right, what is that? What is it, just a thick mixture?
It is like real sweet sugar. You use that a lot in your cookies and your pecan pie. You use Karo in it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. Hey, thanks for all the information.
I hope it works for me. It did for me the first time I made them this year.
So the no-bake cookies came out okay?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad. Because what happens is when I take them out of the pan, I'll put them on the wax paper, and I'll wait for them to dry, and they never set up.
Don't you stir everything real good after you got everything in your pan?
I do, because they look like no-bake cookies, and they taste like them. They just don't congeal together for some reason.
Maybe you don't stir them enough, because it takes a while for them to set up. Now, I just dropped mine on the wax paper and left them set, and they were hard enough you could pick them right off of the paper.
Now, how long did it typically take them to dry?
I don't know. I just put them on a cookie sheet with wax paper, and I left them set out. Because, matter of fact, I have about 4 or 5 left here, and they're still solid.
Huh. All I know is it was probably 4 years ago, and I had people over to my house, and they were making candy, and this is one of the ones they did. And for some reason, and I don't know what caused it, when we moved them to the wax paper, they just were like blobs. And we even tried to put them in the refrigerator because we thought, well, maybe that'll cool them and make them set up a little bit, and it didn't work. But it could be we just did not stir them properly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting. Well, I thank you for the information.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Now, see, that's the type of calls I like. Because to be honest with you, that's how we all learn. Now, that very well could be. I never thought about that. Maybe it has to do with the stirring. Now, see, boiling is a very precarious thing, to be honest with you. Anytime you have to boil something to get an outcome, you can underboil and overboil, and people don't think about that. I don't know why they don't think about that, but that's true. So you put your sugar in your Karo in your pan, and you have to let it boil for about a minute, heavy boil for about a minute. And then you add your peanut butter and your cocoa and your oatmeal, and you stir those all up, and then you drop them on the wax paper sheet. But I bet you have to stir that stuff up pretty good. Does anybody else have any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944, the scourge of the no-bake cookies. Although this lady who just called in did it for the first time this year, and they turned out perfectly. But she sounded like somebody who knows her way around the kitchen, probably more than I do. probably much more than I do, to be honest. But that's interesting. Now, the hardtack candy, does anybody know what it is in hardtack candy that makes it that way? That makes it really hard and it never softens up. Hardtack candy will never soften up. Is it K-Row that goes in the hardtack candy? And what gives hardtack candy its flavor? What is that ingredient that would give hardtack candy its flavor? I want to say Jell-O, but I don't think it's Jell-O. Because Jell-O is not really pepperminty. And a lot of that hardtack candy is more peppermint flavored before you put the powdered sugar on it. So does anybody know what it is in hardtack candy that makes it set up so hard and strong? Maybe hardtack candy's a thing of the past, and maybe, because I'll tell you, I really have not seen much of that any longer. Now, we also talked about the rum balls on Friday. Now, the rum balls, apparently the reason that rum balls are a little dangerous is because you don't ever cook the rum, which is what probably makes the rum balls so potent. Because if you don't cook the alcohol is not going to go out of the rum. So apparently you just roll a rum ball together. And isn't that awful? I forget what they said to roll the rum ball in. Oh, somebody's going to have to tell me. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, I can tell you a couple things about the hardtack candy. It's been years since I've made it, but I do know it's made with K-Row. And you get the flavoring, you buy oils, like peppermint oil or whatever kind of, and they come in a little tiny bottle, and you put that in for flavoring. And the color comes then from food coloring.
Oh, it's just food coloring.
Yeah, so you don't use Jell-O in them at all, I don't believe.
What's what I say? I kept thinking, I don't think you use Jell-O because there's no peppermint flavored Jell-O. Do you remember what kind of flavoring you use? Because I know a lot of it's peppermint, but is there any other flavors that were made?
Well, I think, yeah, if you wanted, like, you could get anise or any kind of flavor you wanted in them, really. But I think peppermint's probably the one that's used the most.
So it's basically the K-Row that sets it up the way it does.
I believe so. Like I say, it's been many years since I've made it. I hadn't made it in the past, but I do remember that you use the oil and the food coloring.
That's interesting. Is it a big production if you remember to make a hardtack candy?
Well, I think they usually recommend that you have a thermometer so that you do get that right to the right temperature when it's cooking. There's a regular, it's called a candy thermometer. And it will show you on it, depending on the kind of candy you're making, how what it has to say on the thermometer and so on. I know that's a part of it.
Do you see a lot of Do you see a lot of hardtack candy anymore? I hardly ever see it anymore.
No, I haven't seen any yet this year either.
Yeah.
Another kind of candy that's fun to make at Christmas and is very simple to make. You just take a little bit of mashed potatoes, leftover mashed potatoes, and start stirring powdered sugar into it. And you stir it and stir it and stir it until it gets where you can roll it out or something. And then you can spread peanut butter on it or jam or whatever you want to. And then you roll it up and cut it in little slices. And that's a fun candy to make. And it's a good way to use up leftovers. But it only takes like a tablespoon of mashed potatoes to start with.
So you take the tablespoon of mashed potatoes. And what do you do with it again? That's interesting.
Throw powdered sugar into it. And when you first put powdered sugar in, of course, it's going to get really runny. So you have to keep adding it until it gets thick enough that you can roll it out like a dough.
Oh, that's interesting. So then you roll it out, and how do you finish it off?
You can put peanut butter or jelly or whatever you want to in the center.
In the center?
And then roll it up and then slice it, just like you would if you were making cinnamon rolls or something.
Oh, okay, kind of like a pumpkin roll or
and
a
then,
cinnamon.
Yes, only much thinner, you know, much smaller rolls. And then you can wrap each piece in cellophane or something.
And, of course, the mashed potatoes, you wouldn't want any salt or pepper in that or anything.
Oh, it wouldn't matter. You just use what you had left over from your meal. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting.
Of course, you can start from scratch and make mashed potatoes, and then, but if you made very many at all, it would make an awful lot of candy.
Make
an awful lot of powdered sugar.
Well, hey, thanks. That's a great idea. Appreciate
it.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, see, here we go again. We're all learning together, and it's fun because we're all here in the morning. Now, that's something I'd never heard of before. Mashed potatoes, and you add powdered sugar, and then you roll it out like dough, And then you fill the center and then roll it up. You put peanut butter or jam or whatever you want in there and then roll it up like a pumpkin roll or a cinnamon roll. That's kind of interesting. Now, I wonder what would taste good in that. Let's see. Potato and powdered sugar. That's fascinating. See the stuff we learn when we talk to each other? Go ahead, caller.
Okay, your hardtack is 2 cups of sugar, 1 cup of water, 2/3 cup of Karo, 1 teaspoon or a little more of a flavoring oil, and food coloring. You put it in a saucepan, mix your sugar and water and Karo, boil until a temperature of 300 degrees, take off the stove and pour the food coloring and flavor oil in as many drops as you like. Pour into a greased cookie sheet or use cooking spray, let it cool, and then when it sets up, you just break it. That's it.
That's it. Now, and then you roll it in powdered sugar at the end, right?
Well, you can, or you don't have to. So, cinnamon is a good flavor for the hard time.
That's right. There was cinnamon. So there's peppermint and cinnamon. But, you know, I remember people making the yellow. Now, was the yellow just probably flavored?
Lemon or cherry or strawberry. You can put any flavoring in it you want.
Now, I wonder where can you get these flavorings in any grocery store?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Usually at a cake decorating store.
So really it's the Karo that sets it up.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, that's fascinating. Well, hey, thanks.
All righty.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Well, that's interesting. Now we're learning about our hardtack candy here. And I'll tell you, I don't know what happened to hardtack candy, but again, I will tell you this before I'll preface this story with this. I do not like hardtack candy. I never did like it. I don't know why. I mean, I could eat a piece. It was more something you kind of sucked on because it was kind of like a candy cane. Like you people usually don't bite into the candy canes. They just kind of lick them or suck on them or something like that. That's how I kind of approached hardtack candy. But I was never a fan of it. But boy, this peppermint tack from Friday was delicious. Now, does anybody know the recipe for peppermint tack candy? Now, this is kind of a funny thing because when our listener brought the peppermint tack in on Friday, now I'm guessing it was white chocolate. I'm guessing it was white chocolate and peppermint bits because that's what it tasted like. But there might be something more to it. I don't know. Now here's how I would think to make it, but I'm probably wrong, is that you would take the white chocolate and you would melt it down in a pan. Then you would add these peppermint bits because they're kind of in the white chocolate. And then you would spread it out over like a cookie baking sheet. And then you would let it dry. Now, to me, that would probably be how you would bake this peppermint tack candy, which tasted so good. But really, there might be more to it. Does anybody know anything about this peppermint tack candy that we got Friday that was so good? I know it had to be white chocolate. But Charlie said he'd never tasted it either. So if you have any information on that, give us a call. 740-383-9944. Also, just got, let's see here, what did I get? I got a recipe for no-bake cookies off of the internet here. 1 3/4 cup white sugar, granulated sugar, I guess is what you could use, 1/2 cup of milk, 1/2 cup of butter, 4 tablespoons unsweetened cocoa powder, 1/2 cup of crunchy peanut butter. I think I would go with the creamy. I'm not much for the crunchy. 3 cups quick cooking oats, 1 tablespoon vanilla extract, and that is all you need. In a medium saucepan, combine sugar, milk, butter, and cocoa. Bring to a boil and cook for 1.5 minutes. Remove from heat and stir in peanut butter, oats, and vanilla. Drop by tablespoon onto wax paper. Let cool until hardened. Now, see, that doesn't sound difficult. So you take your milk, your butter, your sugar, and your cocoa, and you let it boil. And you let it boil for 1.5 minutes. Now, does that sound right? Now, our caller, I can't remember if our caller said to put the cocoa in before you boil it. I don't know why that would hurt. But then you take the oats and the peanut butter, and you add that after the boil. I'll tell you, cookies can be dangerous because if you screw them up in the slightest, it can really wreck the taste of a cookie. And nothing worse than the wrecked taste of a cookie. Now, does anybody have a good sugar cookie recipe? Because sugar cookies are a tricky thing as well. I like the fluffy sugar cookies. A lot of people like the hard sugar cookies. I like the fluffy ones, but they're hard to keep fluffy. And somebody was telling me one time, what keeps a cookie fluffy? That you put something in it, and that'll keep a cookie fluffed up. And I've noticed that when I've went to a lot of bakeries lately, especially ones in the local grocery store, have you noticed how fluffy the cookies have been lately? So people must like these fluffy cookies. But I don't know what that ingredient is you add to get a fluffy cookie. Does anybody know what that is? Because there is something you add, or you whip it a little longer in the pan, you stir it a little longer. What makes a cookie fluffy? Or does anybody have a real good sugar cookie recipe? Because I know sugar cookies can be screwed up easily with baking powder or baking soda, and that leaves a horrible taste in your sugar cookie, and you really don't want that. And another problem with the sugar cookies on the holiday is that people want to ice them so quickly, but you really don't want to do that, because if you ice them quickly, you'll tear the cookie apart, or the icing will melt. It's a whole thing. It can become a whole problem. Now, last week, we also had somebody call in. Does anybody know anything about candied orange peels? Has anybody heard about candied orange peels? How to do them? Or any memories of eating candied orange peels? I've never heard about that. I know that the orange is part of Christmas. I know I've heard that for years. But I don't know what a candied orange peel would be. I don't know what you candy it with. And I don't know if that has become a bygone thing, like the rum candy. Does anybody know that? And also, Friday, I should have listened better. I didn't write it down. What is it that roll the rum ball? Well, you roll the rum ball in the rum. But what is the rum ball made of? It's on the tip of my tongue, and I have forgotten it. But you take something, and you roll it all together into a ball. And then you roll it, I think it was powdered sugar and rum, you roll it into. And that's why rum balls can be kind of dangerous, because you never cook the rum ball, so the rum stays alcohol-based, I guess is what you would say. So what is the actual rum ball made out of? The ball itself. Because I remember thinking Friday, this is kind of odd, because I would think that would fall apart. But I don't know. What are the rum balls made of? What are some other questions I had here as far as this went? Oh, the turtle candy. Talking about the turtle candy. Somebody was telling me last week that the turtle candy was caramel and also coconut. Now, does anybody remember that? Caramel and coconut. And were there any special ingredients that went into making turtle candy? I can't remember that. I'm sure there are some candy shops that still make it. But that was a big craze for a while. I remember that they used to sell these molds for the turtle candy all over town. And you would go and get your mold, and you would go and get your baker's chocolate, and you would put this whole concoction together. And it would come out nice at the end, and these candies would go fast. They would go incredibly fast. But turtle candies were a great staple of the holiday season for a long, long time. I was trying to think of some other favorites. Does anybody else have any other favorite Christmas candies or Christmas desserts that they like? Because really, Christmas seems to be more about desserts or Christmas cookies than any other thing. We also talked about this potato candy. I have no idea what that is. To be honest with you, somebody mentioned it, but what is potato candy? How do you make that? I've never done that. It sounds kind of funny to taste, to be honest to you, but I don't know. What is potato candy? Let me know. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So we're wondering about candied orange peels. We're wondering about turtles. We're wondering about potato candy, wondering about a lot of things, desserts during the holiday season here this morning on WWGH Radio. 44 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. Glad you're out there listening this morning. It's always fun to talk with you. I was trying to think if there's a cake or a pie that is holiday themed. Now, I know pumpkin pie, of course, goes with Thanksgiving, but I don't know if there is a pie that goes with Christmas. I know that, well, obviously fruitcake, but I don't want to touch that. I don't know what, is there a cake that goes with Christmas? Can anybody think of a cake that they like every year at Christmas that specifically is a Christmas cake? I don't know if there's any peppermint-flavored cakes or anything like that, or really any pies, to be honest with you. I can't think of any pies at all. I know people like, now I heard about this mincemeat pie Friday, but I'm not really sure what's in a mincemeat pie either. I can't ever remember eating a mincemeat pie. I don't know that I would want to eat a mincemeat pie, but does anybody know what goes into a mincemeat pie? That would kind of be interesting to know. 740-383-9944. If you have the answers to any of those questions, give us a ring here. We'd be interested to hear from you. All kinds of culinary questions as we head into the big holiday season. 740-383-9944. Now, and I'm going to tell these two stories, and at any time, if you want to break in, feel free. The two funny stories I wanted to tell were, we all remember the famous 2020 show. It's still on the air as far as I know. The 2020 news magazine, which for many years was hosted by Barbara Walters and Hugh Downs, and I believe it's still on. And I heard somebody say last week, and I thought this was kind of funny, they said, well, with 2020 coming up, is 2020 going to have to change their name? Now, here's why this question was confusing to me. First of all, 2020 has been on since the late 70s. And I'm thinking, it's never been 2020, so why would they change their name all of a sudden just because it was 2020? That struck me as odd. And then number two, maybe this is the more sensible part of this story. 2020, the news magazine, is not named for the year. They didn't name it 2020 because of the year 2020. They named it 2020 because of vision. You know, like 2020 vision. A matter of fact, if you go back to the early days of 2020, the opening sequence showed a pair of glasses. So it has nothing to do with the year 2020. So that just kind of made me laugh a little bit. I understand how somebody could get that confused who maybe never watched the show a whole lot, I guess. But it has nothing to do with the year 2020. It's all about vision. So I'm guessing that the people who have had 2020 on the years for, are air for well over 40 years now, I'm guessing they're probably not going to change the name since it has to do with vision and nothing to do with the year. So there you go. That was the first funny story. Now, this is a little more detailed. I don't even know if this is a funny story. I just think it's an interesting story. Now, does anybody remember the television show The Facts of Life? You know, Charlotte Ray and the girls of The Facts of Life. Now, I've watched this show. It's a good show to watch. It was on 9 years or something like that in the 80s. And they replay it all the time. And I had Charlotte Ray on this program before she passed away years ago. Now, here's the interesting thing. About 10 or 15 years ago, during Christmas time, one of the old television stations was running a marathon of Christmas shows, sitcom-themed Christmas shows. And one of the shows was this episode of Facts of Life, which I looked this up. The episode is called Christmas Baby. It was from 1985, the Christmas of 1985, Christmas Baby. And the whole theme of the episode is that, do you remember Blair on the show? She was the oldest girl who was under Mrs. Garrett's care. The oldest girl, Blair, played by Lisa Wilchel, her mother gets pregnant late in life. Now, we learn this earlier on in the season. This doesn't all happen in the Christmas episode. But we learn that her mother gets pregnant early on in the season. And she's going to deliver this baby late in life. Okay. So, let's get to the Christmas episode now, called Christmas Baby. Okay. Well, everybody is at the house getting ready to leave for their Christmas plans. They're all at Mrs. Garrett's house. And Blair's mother is visiting for Christmas. Your mother comes and visits at Christmas. So, while Blair's mother is there visiting for Christmas on the Facts of Life, she goes into labor with this baby. So, it's Christmas Eve, and they really can't find a very upscale, hospital. And it's certainly not her hospital. So they take her to the nearest hospital, and it's kind of a run-down little hospital. And everybody goes, and of course they miss their Christmas plans going home for the holidays because they're waiting at the hospital on Christmas Eve to see if Blair's mother delivers this baby. So the episode goes on, and of course there are a few complications with Blair's mother being old, and that's kind of the whole purpose of the episode. But at the end of the episode, Blair's mother delivers the baby, and all of the cast of the Facts of Life comes back to the hospital, comes back to the hospital on Christmas morning, and they stand in front of the window and they sing the first Noel to the baby and the mother. Okay, that's the episode, about 26 minutes long. If you want to watch it, it's Facts of Life episode Christmas Baby from 1985, Christmas episode. Well, I watched this about 15 years ago and thought, well, it's a good Christmas episode. It's very well written. It's a good holiday episode. So I thought, okay. And I actually have a copy of this episode on DVD. So around Christmas time, it's something I normally try to watch because it's a favorite Christmas episode. Okay. Speed up here. 15 years later. I have a friend who has a name that I really like. Matter of fact, I think it's the greatest name in the world. And I met this person a while ago, and I've always made fun. I've never made fun of the name, because I think the name is the greatest name in the world, but I've always kind of made fun of where the name comes from, how she got to be named this particular name, which is just something fun to do, because I guess I'm a pain in the neck. So I've kind of made fun of this for a while. And the other day, I asked her, really, where did you get that name? And she said she had asked her mother how she got the name, because I have always teased her about where this great name came from, and I think it's the greatest name in the world. So she says to me, well, it's from an episode of The Facts of Life, a Christmas episode of The Facts of Life. And I thought, a Christmas episode of The Facts of Life? I've seen some of those episodes. Your name's not in those episodes. And then I go back to this episode from 1985. This episode that I watch every year. Now, here's where I'm going to draw it all together for you. This is so funny. The baby is born in the Christmas Baby episode of Facts of Life. The baby is born. The baby is named the name of this person. And one of the last lines of the episode is, the baby does not like its name. I think it was named for the grandfather who had passed away. And the baby doesn't like its name. Because you're hearing the episode narrated by the baby, who apparently is many years older at the time, because it's a girl. And that's the name of it. So what's so funny about this to me is, this character, this Christmas episode, which I have been watching for years, the baby is named this particular name. And then all these years later, I find out that the person who has, with my favorite name, the person who has my favorite name of all time, that name originated with a Facts of Life episode that I had watched 15 years ago. Now, you tell me that's not the weirdest thing in the world. And I've got to go back. I haven't done it yet. I've got to go back and watch this episode again through new eyes now. Because this name, being a part of that, now has whole new meaning for me. And that might put me in the Christmas spirit. I just couldn't believe it. I thought that was the most odd coincidence. Does anybody else think this is an odd coincidence? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a ring. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I couldn't believe that. It was so odd. Or what do you think about renaming 2020 in the year 2020? Holy moly. I'd never heard of that. But the interesting things, the interesting stories you pick up as you go through life. Now, let's see here. I do want to let everybody know that after this show this morning at 10 o'clock, it'll be mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp from 10 until 11 this morning. You don't want to miss that. And then today, 4 to 5 p.m., we have Voice of the People with Linda Sims. And then 5:10 to 6 p.m. today, we have the Mike Wilson Show. So you don't want to miss any of those shows right here on WWGH Radio. And if that were not enough, we have the WWGH Christmas show, Christmas special that we do every year, coming up this Thursday night, live on the air here, 7 to 9 p.m. on WWGH Radio, this coming Thursday, November the 19th, 7 to 9 p.m. So far, I know the Leshesky family, I think is what it's called now with Little Ursula. The Leshesky family will be here performing Christmas tunes as they do every year. I will be here. Sean Kraft will be here. Terry Tackett will be here. Glenn Coble will be here. Let's see, who else will be here? Charlie Evers will be here. Linda Sims will be here. I believe Mike Wilson will be here. Who am I forgetting? Don't want to forget anybody, but the whole crew will be here, and there'll be some special visitors on Thursday night, 7 to 9. You won't want to miss that. And the great live music by the Leshesky family, and then we all get together and do our kind of caroling, I guess the closest thing we have to caroling here at WWGH Radio, where we all sing the holiday tunes, but it'll be live on the air, so you will be able to listen along to our holiday festivities. Let's see here. I just got something on the Facebook page about Christmas spirit. How much whiskey goes into cookies? I'm new to this whole baking. Oh, that's funny. That is a funny thing. I don't know. It takes a minute to get into the Christmas spirit, I'll say that. Especially this year. But I am getting there with snow on the ground and Christmas decorations up. And having some Christmas candy this year and kind of everything that's going along with it, I'm getting closer to the Christmas spirit. And I do have a lot of Christmas events going on this week, like the Christmas party here, Thursday 7 to 9. And I have one at the school this week, which will be a lot of fun. So I think with all the Christmas things going on this week, it should be Christmassy. And we've still got 9 days to go, so we've still got time. We have 2 minutes left here before we're going to go to break. 740-383-9944. A lot of good information shared this hour. Does anybody have anything else to say about the candy or the cookies? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Can anybody tell me about the candy or the cookies? Does anybody remember the candied orange peels? Does anybody know anything? Oh, Buckeyes. Buckeyes are fairly easy to make, aren't they? I don't have a good recipe for Buckeyes. Does anybody have a good recipe for Buckeyes or sugar cookies? What makes sugar cookies fluffy? Does anybody know that? There's something you can put into them, I heard, that makes them fluffy. And I don't want to say the things that I think it is, because it could be totally wrong. But it seems like it's a weird ingredient that you would not normally put in cookies that makes it fluffy. Does anybody know what that would be? 740-383-9944, 59 minutes past the hour, because it seems to me like it's some kind of dairy product, but I don't think it's milk. But it's something you put in the batter and it'll fluff up the cookies. Does anybody know what that is that fluffs up the Christmas cookies? I have a whole new perspective on this no-bake cookie thing, though. Apparently it's all in the boil, which is maybe where I'm screwing that up. Not letting it boil long enough with the water and the sugar. Who knows? It's about time for break here. You're tuned in to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM or .com or however you want to say it. We're going to take a quick break here. Remember, you can always email me, Scott, at WWGH1071.com. Be back in about 10 minutes. Let's listen to...
Rep.
Lulu, what is a snowman's favorite breakfast?
Space.